men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God. So let's go into the Word of God. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, my heart is receptive to the Word of God this morning. The teaching of the Word of God this morning profits me, brings light to my heart. I have understanding. I have insight. The Word is clear to me, and the Word is plain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. Glory to God. Let's turn our Bible quickly to Romans 12. We're going to be reading the book of Romans, chapter 12. We're going to be reading two verses from Romans 12. And then we're going to be having a long read from Ephesians 4. Romans 12. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I want us to read it from the NLT. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Are we there? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, read. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable to worship him. Now, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you to a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, which is pleasing, and which is perfect. Let's read it together again, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Ephesians 4, verse 17. With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. Take note of that. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral wills. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Verse 21. Since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 22. Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotting through and through, full of lust and deception. Now, verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. 24. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. Verse 26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. 27. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Verse 28. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I think that's the last verse. Good. Father, we thank you for your word. We understand that the pathway to true freedom is renewal of mind. And we also understand that your word is what brings light to a dark heart. I bow in submission to what your word can do. And I'm asking, sweet spirit of God, that you will breathe upon my lips to communicate your word effectively to your people. I'm asking that there will be simplicity. I'm asking that there will be plainness. I'm asking that there will be utterance. And I'm asking that there will be understanding. Let it be so simple. Let it be so understandable. So that everyone here will grasp it. I pray that the anointing that makes hearing so sweet flowing rest upon every heart. Let their minds be opened. And let their hearts be soft. Thank you in advance because you will do great things. We rebuke the spirit of misunderstanding, religion, and conflict. Rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Pray that your word will be potent. Pray that your word will be efficacious. Pray that your word will be transforming. And at the end of it all, Jesus will be glorified and every saint will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be doing a series that I've titled The Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind. The Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind. The Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind, Part 1. Now, the focus of this series is, number one, to explain how the mind was designed to function. It's important we understand how the mind was designed to function. So the first purpose of this series is to explain how the mind was designed to function. Number two, to expose us to how the mind of man became corrupted when man disconnected from God's Spirit. To expose us to how the mind of man became corrupted when man was disconnected from God's Spirit. And then finally, to show us how we are to renew our mind now that we have the Spirit of God in us. To show us how we are to renew our minds now that we have the Spirit of God in us. Now, let me begin by saying that man was formed and made. Man was formed and made. Or putting it in context, man was first made and then formed. I'll explain what I mean. Now, man by design is a spirit. So the spirit of man was created by God. But the body of man was formed. Is that okay? That's what I meant. So please, it's very important we understand this. It's called the anatomy of the spiritual man. If you don't understand this, you will not be able to live your Christian life to the fullest. It is important you understand how man was first created and then formed. The spirit of man came from God, but the body of man came from the soil. Is that okay? Do we understand that? It's very important. And that's why over and over in scriptures, the Bible always warns us to not focus on our body, as it were. Because from dust it came, dust it will return. So man was designed extensively to be a spirit. Glory to God. So man was first created, made, before he was formed. Is that noted? Man is essentially a spirit. Now write this down. Number two, man was designed to be spiritually controlled. It's very important that we understand these three things. The first thing you must understand is that man was designed to be a spirit. To be a spirit. The reason God created man was because he wanted man to extend his kingdom from the spirit realm to the physical. So man was designed to be a spirit. Man was designed to be spirit controlled. And man was designed to be controlled by God's spirit. So, to achieve this, is that okay? Man must have a body. Is that noted? So God designed man to be a spirit, but to live on the earth. So if man is going to be living on the earth was not created to be inhabited by spirits. The earth was created to be inhabited by what? By humans. So man have to become a human. Is that okay? So man was created. So this you here is the humus. So made from where? From earth. What you call dust. So this part is made from earth. So the man himself, spirit. Are we getting it down? Are we understanding it? Now that's why even when a man's body dies, the man's spirit still exists in another realm. Because the spirit of man was created from a realm and given a body on the earth. Are we together? Do we understand? Is that noted? If you don't understand this design, life itself will just become a misery. That's why people see life as mysterious. I don't understand what's happening to me. Our spirit is chasing me. What's wrong? And that's why most times things can be released in the spirit and they will affect you. because you have a spiritual existence. So man was designed by God to be spiritually routed. That's why the physical is just an interface. So man was designed to be a spirit. Man was to be spirit controlled. And then man was to be controlled by God's spirit. To achieve this, man must have a what? A body. So now, looking at man's makeup, it's important you understand that there is the spirit and there is the what? The body. So the spirit is from God. The body is from what? So Genesis 2:7, God now breathes the spirit on man's body. A joining now took place. Genesis 2 verse 7, and God breathed upon man, New King James, and man became a living soul. So the soul of man is what connects man to spirit and to body. So that's the real, that's where all of the thinking, the emotions and everything about you consist. It's very important. This is the anatomy of man. So let's check this out. God wanted man to live in the physical realm. So he made the earth, he made the man, the body of man from the earth. So the moment God breathed into man, two things happen. Look up. Number one, man had life. And then number two, man had a soul. So everybody say connection. That's how we were made. This is our anatomy. So that's why we say man is three in one. He's a spirit that lives in a body and has a what? A soul. So the real you, from God's perspective, is your spirit. But the real you in earthly living is your what? Is your soul. So let's establish that. I want you to repeat it with me. The real you from God's perspective is your what? Spirit. But the real you in human existence is your what? Is your soul. Now look up. God does not relate with your soul. God relates with your spirit. But fellow humans don't relate with your spirit. They relate with your what? That's how it is. So I don't relate with his spirit. Because I can't see his spirit. But I can see him talk. I can see his hand walk. So all of those inclinations comes from where? From where? The soul. So if God wants to do anything in your life, he channels it to your spirit. So your soul now retrieves it from your spirit. That is how it functions. So that's why there is nothing that you will see in your physical life if it does not pass it through your what? Your soul. Is that understand? Is that understood? That's how it works. So the spirit of man is what God deals with. The spirit of man is what God deals with. So, talking about the soul of man, let's look at the soul of man now. So the soul of man is referred to, so God deals with man through his spirit. Man deals with man through his physical body. That's the reason why if I die now, I will not be existing in your realm, but I can be existing in God's realm. I'm sure you know that. That's why I call them spirits. The realm of the spirit, they are not dead. Because when a man dies, he only ceases to exist in his body. Good. So now let's check the soul. Now the soul consists of what you call the soul, basically, it's the heart. Then you have what you call the will, you have emotions, you have thoughts. Is that okay? What else? Is there the intellect? So biblically, all of these resides what we call the heart. So it's either we call it soul or what? Heart. So sometimes in scriptures, the Bible calls it heart. Sometimes the Bible calls it the soul. Is that okay? And sometimes the Bible calls man soul. For example, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Are we understanding it now? So there are different terminologies, but they all mean the same thing. Is that okay? So when you see in Ephesians, when he say, let the Lord dwell richly in your heart. Now, he's trying to say, let him dwell at the center of your life. Do we get that now? So, this is what it means. So, that's the center of a man's life. Are we understanding that? Are we following? So, meaning that everything your life is producing right now, this is where they are coming from. Bodily, medically, the heart is what gives life to the body. Blood pumps from the heart. So also, spiritually, life consists of the abundance of the heart. So whatever wants to happen in your life must take center stage where? In your heart. So the heart is the gateway to the soul. Are we following? The heart is the gateway to the soul. For example, what you think is what gets into your heart. What you remember, what you call intellect, is what has been stored and explained in your heart. That's why when your heart is encumbered, you can't read and understand. You can't read and understand. For you to read and understand, literally, your heart must be free. If you are writing an exam on Tuesday and your fiancé or your fiancé serves you breakfast, you will get to exam hall and it will be looking like the question is slang. Especially if you have not built emotional intelligence. I mean, if you don't have a strong heart. You know, there are some people that you can serve them breakfast today, they will write A tomorrow. That's true. So he said, a man's life consists of the abundance of the things he thinks. It's out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. Are we understanding it? It's important. So the heart is the gateway to the soul. You must understand these interrelations. So that's why sometimes if you read Bible, the Bible will use heart. Sometimes it will use will. Now take for example Romans 12 verse 2 we read. He said, let God's thought dominate you so that you will know his will. He now says that there are three characteristics of the will of God. Number one, the will of God is perfect. The will of God is pleasing. And the will of God is what? Is good. But you can't know the goodness of God if your mind is not renewed. That's what we are talking about. For example, someone, I had read of a story of a man of God's child who was, the dog hit the child and the child fell down and was unconscious. So the man of God, they rushed the child to the hospital, and the man of God was angry. God, why did you not protect my child? How would you allow my child to fall so bad? Some weeks later, the child was healed. Then some days later, I had a dream and saw that what actually happened was that a food was poisoned. The child wanted to eat it. There was no way God could save the child, so he used the dog. So the dog just became aggressive, ran to the child and hit the child. So if he had eaten that poison, he would have died. Do you understand now? So the man was angry that the child fell down, but he couldn't see that what God actually did was protecting the child from dying. And that's how life is sometimes to us. Some things happen, we call it bad, but Bible says it's working for our good. Now look up. You can't know it's working for good if your mind is not renewed to think the way God thinks. So everything is happening in the heart. Salvation takes place in the heart. Spiritual growth takes place in the heart. So we must understand, why is the heart so peculiar? That's what we are saying. The gateway to the soul is the heart. Wait, I can't make her do what I want if I don't win her heart. That's how it works. Now, the soul has will, ability to do things. The soul has emotions, ability to feel. The soul has intellect, ability to interpret information. Now, the soul has thoughts, ability to think. Now, all of these is what forms your life. Do you understand that? So, for example, if I say, please pass me that phone. Now, in his intellect, he knows what phone is. And in his heart, he wants to do it. So, he giving me the phone is will. Do we get that now? He knowing what phone is intellect. So, what we are saying is this. If God can control your life, he must first program in you his algorithms, his way of thinking. So, that's what it means to have a renewed mind. Where God's A is your A. Not that God is saying A, you are saying apple, but God is saying ancient. Do we understand? So there must be a reprogramming. That's what the Bible calls renewal of mind. So we must understand that everything rises and falls from what the heart thinks. Why? The heart is the gateway of the soul. For instance, let's make it more practical now. In relationships, it's very common. That one is very common. Will I use as example now? Okay, let me use her. Now, let's take for instance, he just meets her and says, I want to marry you. He will just say, I'm not marrying Joe. Why even you? Just throw it off. But if he didn't come and say he wants to marry her, he just comes, maybe like a brother in church, just like saw her today. Ah, your hair is fine. Your gown is good. And then tomorrow is coming, buys take home for her because her love language is good meat and hot jollof rice. You get? And starts doing that. And start doing that. Now, do you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to find his way into his heart. Now, the moment he succeeds in finding his way into his heart, he can now make her do what he wants. So that's why we say the heart is the gateway to the soul. So once something has entered your heart, it can affect your thinking. So she can just wake up middle of the night and is just thinking about him. You understand what I'm saying? I know you've not thought about a guy before in your life. You are very honest and you are very godly. You have never thought about a guy in your life. I know. So, but just learn from those that have done that. Amen? Amen? Your heart is so... The only thing you think about now is God and Holy Spirit and heaven. Amen. I know. So that's why I'm not using you as an example. I'm using Abisu. Praise God. Amen. Because I know he can. She has thought about a man before. At least I know him. Praise God. Okay. Who else have thought about a man? Olamide. You think about the man Jesus. So in your life, you've never talked about any man before. No man have entered your heart. Eh? You want me to bring you out now, Abby? Okay. Amen. So you realize that the moment something sits in your heart, it controls your life. For example, money. Money can make people do anything. Anything. So that's why Jesus now told us in Matthew 6 that we should not allow money become our master. When he said, don't allow money become your master, it's very simple. He said, allow money sit in the throne of your heart. He's not saying you shouldn't like money. No, that's not what he's saying. Because, see, I like money, but I don't love money. I like money. Praise God. I like money. Just give me money. If you don't like it, bring it. I like it. Just go and buy it and buy cutting and start having service. Amen. But what he's saying is that money should not sit in your heart. He said the moment money sits in your heart, every other thing will find their way into your life through that money. So money becomes the entry point because that's what's controlling your heart. Are you understanding it? So the gateway to the heart, so the gateway to the soul is the heart. And the soul is the most powerful organ of the human on this earth. So that's why Satan is after your heart. But a lot of us know the soul. A lot of us know the heart. But I realize that very few people know the mind. So the focus this month is not the soul. The focus this month is not even the heart. The focus is the mind. Now, what is the mind? The mind is the gateway to the heart. It's getting interesting now. Now, the soul is the gateway to life. But the heart is the gateway to the soul. But the soul, the gateway to the heart, the door to the heart is the mind. So people, a lot of Christians focus on the soul, they don't focus on the heart, they are weak. A lot of Christians focus on the heart, they don't focus on the mind, they are weaker. Because Satan's focus, small entry point, but very powerful. Because this is how it works. Let me show you how it works. There are three gates. So this is the man, what you call life. So the man, you know, I've removed this part now. This is the man. That's the soul. Huh? Now, the bigger gate is the soul. The bigger gate is the soul. After the soul, we now have another gate, the heart. Are you following me? Then we now have another gate. So once you get to this bigger gate, this is where the issues of life come. What you call the will, thoughts, the feelings, and the intellect. Are we following? Don't get it twisted. It's not difficult to grasp. This is what we are saying. We are saying that, for example, there is something called catch. Most times, the medium for the catch is always very tiny. Let me give you an example. If a lady wants to seduce a man, all she needs to do is to expose her labs or her cleavages or one of those things. Now, what he's trying to do is to get to the mind of the man. So that's why scripture was saying in the book of Matthew, said, when you look at a woman once, you take your eyes away. You look at him eye again, there's a catch. Then you not think on her, there's lust. See it. It's not when you look at something the first time, it's not lust. You can look at something and throw your eyes away. You can look at something and not think on it. Now, that's because the gateway of your mind is what? Is short. But if you look at it again, it will not pass your mind. And where will it now go to? Your heart. Now, if you now drop it there and dwell on it for some days, it cannot enter into your soul. So, the gateway to the heart is the mind. So, the mind is the catch. When you see something with your eyes and your mind does not take it serious, it cannot stay in your heart. Am I correct? Wait, let's talk about mindedness. Why do you think someone forgets? He forgets because he did not put it to mind. That's just the reason. If you are not mindful of something, you cannot be thoughtful of that thing. Write it down. So the mind is the opening to the heart. So that's why, if you read that Ephesians, the Bible was very, very direct. Verse 18. That Ephesians 4, verse 18, NLT. When the Bible was talking about the heart, he used the word heart. But when he was talking about the mind, he used the word short. Look at it. Look at it. He said, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their mind. So a closed mind will produce a hard heart. So it follows that direction. So the moment the mind is closed, the heart is hard, nothing will what? Will happen. We call it stone cold. That's why you can be... Have you seen some real sadist lecturers before? You are begging like they are not listening to you. Father, they are not even looking at your tears. You know, tears can be a medium of softness to generate softness. You know, some people, if they want your heart to be soft, they will start crying. But there are some people, in fact, they will be even angry as you are crying. Now, do you know what they are trying to do? They don't want your tears to get to their mind. Because if their mind opens, automatically their heart will become what? Open. Soft, sorry. So, heart, hard, mind, short. So, at salvation, what happens? Mind opens, heart what? So, that's why he's now saying that you should renew your mind. Now, when he's saying renew your mind, he's trying to say, let the things that made you to shut your heart, take them away. Because there are many reasons people shut their heart against God. There are a lot of reasons people have shut their heart against God. Some of them, they feel that serving God is hard. You know, if, for example, I come to you, I'm telling you about something. Let's say I want to sell a phone to you. And I'm like, this phone is very okay. You will like it. And the price is so cheap. It's 5,000. I mean, you mean this phone, 5,000? It's a scam. It can't be 5,000. Now, that it can't be 5,000. Do you know where it's coming from? You have been told that anything that is too cheap is a scam. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Now, meaning that there are some pre-installed or preset information. So what causes mind to be short? Let me tell you why mind becomes short. Mind becomes short as a result of darkness. So the same thing here is darkness. Because it's not seen. So write this down. The mind has eyes. The mind of man is supposed to have eyes. We can see with our mind's eye. Am I communicating? Are we following? Now, let's go back to the original design. We've explained this now. We'll pick up from there as we move on. So I want you to understand this. So the mind is the entry point to the heart. And the heart is the entry point to the soul. So that's why Bible used them in three of them. They are entry points. Interchangeably. So some days the Bible will use mind. Some days the Bible will use heart. So now you see why it uses the two. They are all what? Entry point. So let's look at the mind of man before the fall. So before the fall, man was designed by God. Like I told you earlier, man is a spirit. Spirits. Before the fall, spirit and soul were together with the body. So before the fall, the spirit of man and the soul of man, they were joined. They were working together. Let me explain what it means. Now, because the spirit of man came directly from God, and it was so new, understand God, understand his ways. So it was guiding man's soul single-handedly. No external influence. Before the fall, man's spirit and God's spirit were together, and they were together with man's soul. Even though there was a separation, but the separation, the gap was very, very tiny. What it means is that what man was thinking was always what God was thinking. And what God was thinking was always what man was thinking. Are we following? Now, the reason is because there has not been any external influence. It's just like picking when they're born, brand new. Just come, don't know anything. Created by God, man's spirit was as pure as God himself. And that purity was passed on to the what? To the soul. Now, let me give you an example. Genesis 2. The Bible says, God brought all the animals to Adam. And whatever Adam called them was what God would have called them. Meaning, the mind of God and the mind of man was what? As God is thinking, lion should be lion. Adam is also what? Thinking it. So the thought of God and the thought of man was what? The same. The reason is because there was no external influence. As a matter of fact, the mind of man was open to God and was shut out from flesh. How do I know? He didn't even know he was naked. Are we together? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I mean, how can Adam be naked and he didn't know? Now, this is the reason. His mind was shut from self, but was opened to what? It was only God did they see. That's the way man was. So you wonder, how would man be naked and he didn't know? His mind was shut out from self. His mind was fixed on who? On God. So now only waiting God talking they do. God slept him off and created a woman. We should go back to the way we were that time. Because even clothes now are expensive. If we were to be in the Garden of Eden, we would not be paying the bride price. How much did Adam pay for Eve? Adam is my own now. So now they say, man, I can't marry you. I can't pay money to collect with it. God collect from my body. I can't pay for him. Amen. There are three things that happened before the fall that gave me so much assurance that the mind of man was so sound in Eden before the fall. That's Romans 12:2. He said, good, pleasing, and perfect. Look up. Adam never told God that Eve was a problem until his two crow eyes became open. When the two eyes were closed, check your Bible, Genesis 2. He said, surely, Kai, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And scripture said, he called her woman because you were taken out of me. Then his mind was very sane, pure as purity. No complaint. The truth is this. If your mind is not renewed, you will complain about what God gives you. The reason believers are complaining about God's blessing that they were supposed to be grateful for is because their mind has not been renewed. Adam, when his mind was one with God, called Eve bone of my bone. But when his eyes became open, he said, the woman you gave me. Where was the change coming from? Eyes open, mind unstable, distracted. So you must understand that, number one, before the fall, man was satisfied with whatever God gives. Contentment is a byproduct of spiritual renewal of mind. Number two, the first one was man had God's kind of thinking. Their aptitude was sharp. All the animals, some, you know, we use, how many years now? Zoology. Go and study zoology. We teach you all the name of all the animals in the world. Have you watched Nat Geo Wild? Animal did this world. Some name, you can't even pronounce them. There was one they brought, it said octopus, hippopotamus. Now Adam called them those names. Where get those sense from? Everybody say from God. All the name, any name, Perewinko. Now Adam called them the name. Oh, I want us to think the capacity man's mind had before the fall. Because when we are talking about renewal of mind, people don't understand what we are saying. Animals. The scripture said, whatever he said, he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. Divine aptitude. The mind was so sound. See, the problem we're having in this world is worldliness. Now, Satan, the cursor, took us away from God and began to give us nonsense thinking thoughts. You just be in your room now, bad, bad things you think. Adam was so sane before the fall because he had no pre-programmed bad things in his head. Now we are in the Adamic nature, fallen nature. You will just sit down. You just, if you see some people, the kind of thought that comes to their mind, you'll be wondering, how do they think this thing just now? Whatever I call them, any name you can think of, goat, snake, all of them. So to show you the capability, we can't even give them some of those names. We can't give them, they get, is it botanical name? Can't give them second name. Can't give, capacity to name came from the mind of man that had not fallen. And then number two, contentment. The mind was so streamlined. It was satisfied with whatever God brings. The mind was satisfied. If God comes and says, oh, this is your wife, you say, okay, good, love it. He said, this one is day, this one is night. Now, we did change everything now. Glory to God. So, before the fall, spirit, soul, they were what? One. So, before the fall, the connection was solid. The connection was solid. So, man's mind was fully dominated by God's thoughts. Coverage. I said, number one, aptitude. Man was thinking in God level. Number two, contentment. Man was satisfied with whatever God gave. Covering. Man was covered under God before the fall. So the mind of man was keen on what God provides. Everything. Dependency was high. You see, the reason why God tells you, I will bless you in this land, and you are thinking, how you want it? How God want it? Why? You know, your mind has been corrupted with too many things. You have heard story of people who obeyed God and then they were suffering, they died. So all those things are conflicting with what God is saying. But for Adam, there was no prior experience that was Saul. I'm sure you know that. So it was new. It was new. No. Adam did not have any thought of, I don't know. He don't know anything. That's why God should take us back to that stage. Because sometimes this is where we know too much. But God now told Adam something, and that's very important. All that I've been saying will be futile if we don't understand one thing here. There's one thing that God added here, and that's the joker, and it changed everything. It's called free will. The uniqueness of God in designing man, in as much as he wanted man to be controlled by his spirit, he also wanted man to be independent in making decisions on earth. Freedom to make decisions. And that was the reason why Adam could have mentioned names for those animals. He had ability to use his mind to create things. Are you following me? He has the ability to exercise his will. And that is as a result of the benevolence of God. He wanted man to be a free will because he wanted man to exist on earth, but controlled by what? By him. So God wanted to control man, but also wanted man to exercise the control on earth. Look up. That's free will. This is free will. Free will means you can do what you want based on what I want. That's God's idea of free will. Let me explain it again. Look at me very well. You can write it down. God's idea of free will is this. You can do what you want based on what I want. Some of our bosses do that to us. They give us the freedom that, okay, take control of these and you are free to hire, you are free to recruit. But there are things in the company that you're still not free to what? To do. So that's why while I was teaching on freedom last month, I told you that we are free, but we are free in who? In Christ. There's a confine to the freedom. So that's what God was doing when he came to Adam and said, you can eat of every fruit of the garden, but there is a particular fruit you won't eat. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I've given you the ability to think. I've given you the ability to be contented. I've given you the ability to rule. But you can only do that if you don't have too many information. You can only do that if you don't have too many knowledge. By the time you start having too many knowledge, problem will come. The hardest time to choose who to marry is if you have like 5 guys that are serious in your life. That's when you know that there's something called spirit of discernment. Am I correct? The next time you will need the spirit of discernment is if, just imagine now, you have been praying to God for a job and 5 jobs just come at the same time. That's where you will know that to make decision is not easy. God saved man from all those bottlenecks. I said, see, there's a tree, don't eat of it. Now, the reason is because I want you to rule, but I want to be your ruler. Glory to God. That's what God wants for your life. There are some of you, your freedom has been the cause of your problem. You are too free. You left your mom's house so that you can do what you like. Now, do what you like. See where it has costed you. That's what Adam did. God said, I'm going to help you. As long as you are one with me, all things are going to be fine. But if you eat of the fruit of that garden, you will die. Now, what was God trying to tell Adam? He said, if you eat of it, your mind will become open to you and to the influences around you. Now, your eyes not shut. Your minds are open, but open to who? To me. But if you eat the fruit, your mind will be opened to the world around you. Now, when Adam ate the fruit, what was the first thing that happened? His eyes became open. Glory to God. And the next thing that happened was the same man that never knew he was naked, automatically, boom, his gaze came to himself. And that was where the whole problem started. So before the fall, perfect, contented. Now, let's check as we round up to this discussion. Now, after the fall, what happened? Okay, let's just stay before the fall. So before the fall, man had unhindered access to knowing spiritual things. So by obeying the devil, he opened his mind to the world of the devil. The world of the devil. When he ate the fruit, his mind became opened to the world. What God was preventing him from, he eventually walked into it. You know, sometimes our parents give us rules and instructions. They say, okay, you know what you're going to do? Make sure you don't walk alone at night. Make sure you don't walk alone at night. If you want to go out, the moment it is 7:38, don't walk alone. And they say, I'm a big girl. I can walk anytime. And then you walk alone one day, some guy just gets you. And do you understand? Now, that's what she was preventing you from. I was reading on the principles of rules and laws. My Smuro said something. He said, the reason God gives us rules and laws are to prevent us from things that can be damaging to our lives. God knew what he was preventing Adam from. He knew that there was a resident devil somewhere. So the reason why the influences of the devil never showed up was because his minds were not what? Open. So the moment his mind became open, Satan began to channel thoughts into his heart. And let's check that. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. Let's check it. Some things happened. Let's start from, what did 4 say? Now let's check 5. 5. Look at 5. Look at what happened. Now the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness. So before the fall, what we had was we had access, we had connection, we had contentment, we had aptitude, spiritual one. Now, beyond all that, God was what? Pleased. So let's check after the fall. Now, after the fall, what happened? Mind became what? Opened. Self became. So these are some of the things that happened, and then automatically mind became open, self became obvious. So open mind plus selfishness produces more wickedness. So that's what we are seeing there. So after the fall, this is what happened. Now the moment man fell, the first thing that happened, as you saw in that Genesis 3, was that man knew he was what? Naked. And then from that moment, man became selfish. So see what the scripture said. It said, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth, and he saw that everything they thought. Did you see it now? So the only thing that was coming into their mind was what? Was consistently and totally evil. Let me list out some of the strongest effects of the fall of man. Please raise your head. This is very important. And that's why if you are a believer, if you don't renew your mind from these things, you will serve God and you will still serve the world. This is where we place emphasis in spiritual growth. There are a lot of problems in the world today. But like I've always taught, all of them has their what? Roots. So God did not solve all the problems in the world. He only solved one. So the main problem that came from the fall was that man became selfish. That's all that happened. The moment Adam saw that he was naked, the Bible says he covered himself. The first problem that came from the opening of man's mind to the devil is selfishness. And that's why, listen, no matter how long you stay in the church, if self does not go, you are not different from an unbeliever. So that's what God saw. He said the wickedness. He said every thought, imagination was what? Totally evil. And it grieved God. Look at verse 6. It said, and then he grieved God. So the Lord was sorry he had made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Now why? Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animal, the small animal, that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the air. I am sorry I ever made them. No, you know why? This was opposite what God wanted man to look like. God wanted man to look like him, selfless. But man, his mind has become what? Open. So what are the implications? Let's write them down. I wrote about six of them. There are seven actually. The first thing that happened when man fell, apart from the fact that his eyes, the implication, not the action. The implication number one was that he was, okay, it's a big word, don't worry, I will. Sent out from help. He was sent away from the garden. Now, what was the implication of this? This now produced what? Lack. So the first problem that came as a result of man's fall was what? Lack. So lack now produced what? Greed. So the number one problem we are having in this life is greed. That's why you see, I was watching a clip, 3 minutes clip. Somebody said it was one of the shortest movies that will have over 3 million views or something. I don't know if some of you have seen that clip. The black hole. It's on my phone. I wish I played. It explained greed so quickly. It was a black hole. The guy was trying to make a photocopy. So a white paper came out that has a black hole. So with that black hole, anywhere you put it, you can get anything inside. So he took it to a room, used it to open the door. So he saw a safe there. And then he put the black one, shook his eyes, and saw plenty of dollars was bringing them out. Has brought many on the ground, felt they were still more inside. He shook himself inside. The paper fell down. He could not come out. He could not come out. Because the principle with the paper is that you must hold it with your hand. So now he has entered with his whole body, forgot. And then, in fact, he locked himself inside the safe. When they would come and open the safe in the morning, he would have been dead. That's greed. Greed says, get as much as you can what? Get, because there is not enough. That's greed. So that's the first problem. That's why it's sponsoring a lot of things in this life. Some people they want to get more money. They've been told, gather many money so that you will not suffer in old age. So they want to be gathering. They kill for it. And then the next thing is envy. So lack produce greed. To envy. The first death in the Bible, the first murder in the Bible was as a result of envy. And it also has its roots in lack. Because scripture said, Cain went and offered sacrifice. Then Abel offered the same what? Sacrifice. But Cain saw that Abel's sacrifice was more what? Accepted. Now, the number two problem that the fall brought is envy. And that's why, look up. If you claim to be born again and God have not renewed your heart from greed, you're born again, is still having problem. If you want to see someone that is truly renewed, contentment will be so obvious in his life. You know, they run, follow money when not being own. That's, you see, I've worked in places. You see, elders, Christians, they can forge documents. I mean, Christian lecturers charge students money, 40,000, 20,000 to do projects that is not in line with the system. All because they have calculated it. 20 project students, 20,000, that's 400,000. Greed. Why do you think someone will go to the market to sell egusi, blend it, and then add a cream powder for it to be plenty? So half is egusi, half is powder. Mix it together and sells it to you. Say greed. And the result was because of the fear of what? Lack. Two is envy. Fear of acceptance. Everyone listening to me, listen. If you've not conquered envy, You are not different from Cain. I mean, even inside church, you see people who they just feel I'm not accepted. And because of that, they now hate those that are accepted. This, the end product of envy, it produces what? That's where those other things now came in. Envy, you now see lies. Huh? You now see slander. You now see what? Back. Why should my mates be getting married and I'm not married? Do you know sometimes, thank God for renewal of mind, sometimes some people, by just viewing their friend status, some people Friday and Saturday, they don't like view status. Can only marriage, they just remember, they say they not remind, they say they never married. Just view like five, they just become sorrowful. Ah, God, where will it be my turn? Now, if it stops there, you are even okay. But some, it creates anger in them. So those friends that have gotten married, they envy them. They come to them for advice. And out of envy, they give them what? Bad advice. I was reading the story of a young lady that will always advise the friend. The friend wants to get married. And just, this guy said, you are too good for the guy. Just leave him. Go, Joe. Why? Just tell him you are not doing it again. Meanwhile, in the eye, they hide the guy. It was later found out that she was pregnant. She later got pregnant for the guy. What envy cannot do does not exist. It is so silent. It came as a result of the fall. The reason Cain killed Abel was because of envy. And lastly, the third effect of the fall was isolation. Isolation. Man became isolated from God. And as a result of that, he started thinking how to make himself relevant. In Genesis 11, we are told about the Tower of Babel. He said, go to, let us build a tower and make a name. Sometimes, most selfish ambitions are cravings from a heart that wants to be relevant. I want to blow. I want to be known. I want to blow. That's what is affecting this generation. Thank God for social media. It has made it so palpable. There's nothing people cannot do to attract likes on Facebook now. Now to dress, it's so normal now. It has been normalized. They call it TikTok. For 30 seconds, you give people feel of your body. And the only thing you can boast of is 15,000 likes. I open my mind for God's word to heal me. What some of you need is opening of mind. Your mind is closed towards God. My mind is open. My mind is open. Thank you, Father. My mind is open. Lord, I give you thanks. Come on, go ahead and pray and say, Father, thank you. My mind is renewed.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.